Hello, Legion of Audience. This is James, and before we get started today, I wanted to take a second and let you all know about the brand new Who Would Win Patreon. If you'd like to support the show and get behind-the-scenes access like you've never seen before, go to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow right now. Who Would Win patrons will have access to outtake videos, early info on battles, and even get a vote on characters that we'll use in upcoming episodes. So if you'd like to support me and the show, head to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow, and for as little as $5 a month, you can define yourself as more than just a fan. You'll be an official member of the Legion. Hope to see you there.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
While strolling nearby the Eiffel Tower, Deadpool saunters along, leading Wolverine by a trail of figurative, but yet also literal, breadcrumbs.
"Little guy likes the smell,"
Deadpool whispers to the camera. It is then that two young crime fighters spot the masked man and immediately assume he's yet another corrupted villain sent by Hawk Moth. And so, Miraculous Ladybug and Cat Noir begin their transformations.
"Hey, can you slow down a bit? My friend will be here in a minute," Deadpool shouts.
Wolverine then runs into view and wonders very foully what is going on.
"Yeah, I don't know, Wolvie. I think it's some kind of mime thing. Who cares? Let's fight him."
As claws and sword are drawn, and a battle will commence as soon as the transformation sequence is over. It's Canada versus France. It's red and yellow versus red and black. It's Deadpool and Wolverine versus Miraculous Ladybug and Cat Noir. Today on Who Would Win?
And welcome to another episode of Who Would Win, a show that completely ignores anything important happening in the world and instead focuses on a fictional battle between two characters from the worlds of comics, sci-fi, and fantasy. I'm your host, James Gavsey, and as always, I'm joined by the one and only Ray Stekanis. It's time for another two-on-two tag team battle event. In one corner, you have the team of Deadpool and Wolverine, two Canadians with attitudes, healing factors, and a body count that's currently skyrocketing versus the team of Miraculous Ladybug and Cat Noir, two characters who I hope they know what they're in for today's battle. That's all I'm going to say about that. As usual, I did the patented Who Would Win Google test just to see how many times this matchup has been discussed. And news alert, I believe I got put on an extra special government list for just typing this match into Google. It's that crazy. And of course, no one in their right mind anywhere has ever brought up this battle before in the history of anything. You're welcome, Legion of Audience. Ray, I gotta know this. What are your thoughts on today's matchup?
I have been wanting to get Miraculous Ladybug and Cat Noir, a, you know, cartoon 3D animated CGI show for kids. I've been wanting to get these characters on the show for a while. And you could say people often wonder what happens in our secret boardroom meetings for Who Would Win. You know, I've seen graphic representations a month ago online about it. And yes, it's true. Brent Pope is there. He is giving orders and eating breakfast. Typically, he loves his breakfast. James and I are there on very opposite sides of the table. If you remember the Batman and Vicky Vale dinner sequence from Batman 89, that is how far apart at the table they force us to sit, and correctly. But the thing that happened here is we knew we wanted to use Deadpool and Wolverine. We know the movies and theaters, and we needed a duo to face them. And who raised their voice in the boardroom? Who never does? Robert Clark Chan was at the meeting, raised his voice and said, "How about Miraculous Ladybug and Cat Noir as an appropriate duo to fight them?" And I jumped on it. I said, yes, I looked it up. It matches up. I love this battle.
You know, I remember we were just so surprised that Robert Clark Chan just said it with such conviction. And then you said,
it's crazy,
seconded, and ran out of the room. And everyone's like, well, I guess we have to do it now. Great democratic process.
Why sit next to the door?
It's a crazy thing. Now, look, I let me just kind of be very straightforward with the Legion of Audience. I don't know what's happening with the Who Would Win show. This matchup goes against all types of common sense. It spits in the face of every rule of good matchmaking that I know of. I also believe it violates several laws of physics, but whatever it is, the last time we did this kind of matchup, I believe it was Twilight Sparkle versus Lobo. Wow, it worked. And I think we have that same kind of formula today. And when you have that kind of matchup in that formula that needs clear decision-making, you know, that judge with a genius IQ is needed, a judge who is that innate way to connect the dots, come up with a logical decision that avoids anyone scratching their head in bewilderment about the decision and going like, what the heck was just said? And again, we went in the complete opposite direction of that. You'll see why. Making yet another appearance on the Who Would Win show. It's fan favorite judge. It's someone who I have no idea how they think or what's going through their head. It's the only adult in the room, at least for the show. It's podcaster extraordinaire. Yeah, you guessed it. It's Robert Clark Chan. Robert, welcome back to Who Would Win.
I'm making it harder for you to say the only adult in the room these days, aren't I? I am the king of goofy nonsense, and that is how I want it to be.
Robert, I get these little, you know, cards from the production team saying this is how we feel about Robert Clark Chan. So this is what they're saying. Robert, Oscar the Grouch has called you the greatest 4D chess player that's ever existed. Mm-hmm. Mike Tyson calls you the one that got away. And you are the only person to ever bring peace to the Middle East of Canada. That's right. Alberta and Saskatchewan are no longer at war. Thanks to you, you are an incredible example of human excellence. That's what it says on the card anyway. Please tell the Legion of Audience, our faithful fan base, what you've been up to.
I mean, all of that is 100% true. And the picture that you painted about the boardroom, indeed, I don't speak up very often because it gets very heated, honestly, really, truly. Peel back the curtain. It does get really heated when we're trying to figure out these matches. And usually I'm there to just lob in charitably could be called unhelpful suggestions. And sometimes, you know, it eases the tension. And sometimes it's just a bug nutty idea. And once in a blue moon, they work. So, you know, that's what I get brought in for.
Yeah, that's a better thing to lob in than the usual tear gas to separate Ray and myself from, you know.
I mean, I have that too in case the witty bon mots don't work out, so.
So true. Look, you know, Robert Clark Chan, it's been a while since this happened, but you have created this legendary Who Would Win moment for previous two battles ago, I believe, that you were on, Care Bears versus Deathstroke, where you said somehow the Care Bears and Deathstroke were at a tea party. They used the Care Bear stare, Deathstroke left, and therefore Deathstroke got the win. I've had every major scientist from around the world dissect what you said, what you did, put it under electron microscopes. No one, still to this day, understands any of what your logic was. Are you going to be simplifying things for today's battle? Are you going to be doing something different? Can we expect a more logical approach? Where's your head at?
I am a man who's ahead of his time. These are all decisions that will make complete sense 150 years from now. I'm going to look back on these podcasts because they will be enshrined as some of the great works of Western civilization, obviously. And they'll say like, well, you know what? People back then, they just didn't get it. They were too mired in their own day-to-day business and they didn't see where Chan was going. It's just head in the sky. And now we understand. And that's also what I bring to the show.
You know what? We got French people here on the show. We got Canadians, and you know, being somewhat French Canadian myself, all I can think of is that you bring a certain je ne sais quoi to every episode of the Who Would Win show.
My grandfather was from Canada, from Alberta, in fact. That's how I solved the Alberta Saskatchewan conflict.
Unbelievable, which means you don't like French Canadians. This explains so much. Robert, I'm actually going to delve into this later on in the show. It's going to be a factor. Look, I'm kidding. Robert Clark Chan loves everybody. Ray Stikanis is here. So am I. It's time to do possibly the craziest battle we've done ever on the Who Would Win show. Ray, please do us the honors and announce today's matchup.
Representing Marvel Comics, the team that spans regenerations, Deadpool and Wolverine. And representing Disney currently, the team with more raw animal power than a Tiger King theme park, Team Miraculous.
Well done, Ray. Now, before we go any further, let's go over the basics of a Who Would Win match. Now, each member will make 3 points. Keep in mind that the Who Would Win match is a random encounter in a neutral location with no prior knowledge or prep time allowed. And the debater has to stay within the confines of the character. And when it comes to determining the winner, it's the judge who has the final say and will determine which character has lost based on death, incapacitation, or battlefield removal. Death is a possibility for today's episode, not going to lie, with no outside interference being allowed. Remember, you can always check out all the rules on our website at www.whowouldwinshow.tv. And before we get started, don't forget to visit the official Who Would Win store, www.sayword.co. Go to their collections part and you will see the Who Would Win official collection. We've got t-shirts, we've got hats, we've got actual products, the Who Would Win patented figure stand, the versus figure stand, where you can pose two characters facing off against each other with the Who Would Win symbol there. Send us pictures of that, buy it, send us pictures, and we may consider that for an actual episode of the Who Would Win show. Maybe, possibly, it's a possible thing that could happen. And now, let's get to the tail of the tape for both of our combatants. Ray, please give us the details for Ladybug and Cat Noir.
Could you backpedal that claim any harder? I've seen Olympic rowers go backwards on something less fast than you, saying, this could be a battle, maybe. We'll think about it. We'll at least mention it. It'll happen. It won't happen, but you should do it anyway.
Listen, you never know what's going to happen for the Who Would Win show.
That's true.
It's a
look, fair thing. We have been ready to do a battle and then had something come up, and then we looked at the Who Would Win Facebook group and then seen a battle that was so perfect that we've changed midstream. Remember Homer Simpson versus Peter Griffin? We were not going to do, except we saw it on Facebook like the day before we were set to record, and we completely changed gears. So look, it's possible. I got the stand. You might want to get the stand. It's fun. You can set it up. I'm going to have it on my desk at work just so people can ask me what the heck is the Who Would Win show. The point I'm trying to make is, let's talk about the tale of the tape. Miraculous, Tales of Ladybug and Cat Noir is a CGI animated superhero cartoon from France that tells the story of two teenagers who transform into superheroes and defend Paris from all manner of evildoers. That was one sentence. Wow. Miraculous was created by Thomas Astruc and first aired in 2015. Marinette and Adrian are regular Parisian teens who have a magical gem called Miraculous, which turns them into their alter egos, Miraculous Ladybug and Cat Noir. Their main source of antagonism is Hawk Moth, who uses his butterfly Miraculous gem to turn everyday people into supervillains, trying to eventually steal both of their Miraculous gems for himself. Little does anyone know, but Hawk Moth is actually Cat Noir's father. Drama! Fun fact, did you know that Miraculous was originally conceived, this is wild, as an anime-style 2D animated show? They even made a promo in that style you can see on YouTube in the early stages. However, the character design of Ladybug was very hard to work with in that medium, as her costume is covered in spots and created a weird strobing effect during action scenes, not to mention the fact that the animators had to keep track of where those spots were located at all times. They got around this problem by changing over to 3D computer animation, since the character model that they would use would be easy to keep consistent with the spots because it's just skinned on textures. That's how we got here, and that is Miraculous Ladybug and Cat Noir.
Very cool. Now, here are the details for Deadpool and Wolverine individually.
Never heard of them.
Yeah. You know, we like using obscure characters with no marketing behind them and, you know, no big movie or show coming out. Deadpool, also known as Wade Wilson, is a Marvel Comics character renowned for his irreverent humor, fourth wall breaking antics, and exceptional combat skills. A former mercenary who gains superhuman abilities through an experimental Weapon X program, Deadpool boasts an accelerated healing factor that renders him virtually immortal. His unpredictable nature, combined with his expertise in martial arts and marksmanship, makes him a formidable yet chaotic anti-hero. Created by writer Fabian Nicieza and artist Rob Liefeld, Deadpool made his first appearance in The New Mutants number 98, published in February of 1991. Wolverine, our extra, you know, fun hero, of course, also known as Logan, is one of Marvel Comics' most iconic characters. A mutant with an accelerated healing factor, heightened senses, and retractable adamantium claws, Wolverine is a member of the X-Men and a central figure in Marvel's mutant universe. His tumultuous past, marked by a struggle with his feral nature and a quest for identity, has made him a complex, enduring character. Created by writer Len Wein and artist John Romita Sr., Wolverine first appeared in The Incredible Hulk number 180 as a cameo and number 181 in a full appearance published back in October of 1974. And here's, by the way, I'll be using the comic book versions, of course, of both Wolverine and Deadpool. And here's an interesting fact about Deadpool. Did you know that a certain small city in Canada was going to build a statue for Deadpool, but then decided against it? It's true. Look, as a comic character, Deadpool, like James Gavsey, doesn't do much to acknowledge his Canadian roots. But in the first Deadpool movie, he claims to be from Regina, Saskatchewan. That's a real place. The city that rhymes with fun, according to Deadpool. It's an old joke that didn't really amuse the mayor of Regina, Saskatchewan, who immediately rebuked a proposal to build a Deadpool statue in his honor. Just goes to show that Canadian mayors are sometimes why Canada can't have nice things. Yeah, I said it. Look into it. You'll be surprised. And now you have the facts on both opponents. Robert, do you have any questions before we get started?
I do not. I have an extensive history with Deadpool and Wolverine. I know of Miraculous Ladybug and Chat Noir. My kid watches them. And so I have a complex history of both of them. But I do dearly love pitting two very different things together. So I'm willing to hear both sides. I'm ready for either team here to take it. Seems one-sided, but I don't think it's that one-sided.
I get it. No one thinks anyone can beat Miraculous Ladybug and
I don't.
Cat Noir. I don't want to say Chat Noir because then it's really French. And
You're really playing with the censors at that point.
I know. It could go wrong in so many different ways. All right, Ray, let's get this party started. Please proceed with point number one.
Point number one, we're going to talk about Cat Noir specifically. So we're going to talk about some of the great feats because as a superhero, once he does his transformation, he has, you know, enhanced senses. He's got strength and durability, and we're going to talk about all that stuff. First off, Cat Noir's super strength. Now, he is a guy who hits people, and they go flying. We've seen this in superhero media all over the place. Captain America, in most of his movies, when he hits people, they tend to not just, like, fall in place. They tend to fly, like, 10 feet away, right? That's what happens when Cat Noir hits people. He might look like a scrawny, you know, teenage boy, because he is, but he gets enhanced powers from the Miraculous that turns him into this cat being. And so he's also, you know, it's not the strength of the thing, right? You can't think of it like that, but it's definitely enough to match strength feats of Deadpool and Wolverine. This is my main point. It's enhanced strength. He's not fighting two of the like 100 ton Marvel characters here. He's fighting two characters that have somewhat enhanced strength, but not that far. And I think Ladybug and Cat Noir both match up with that strength very, very well. And durability, he does have it. He's tanked hits from all of the different heavy hitters of his world. I would go into names, but they would mean nothing to you if you haven't seen the show, so I will not bother. Just know there are some heavy hitters in the world, and Cat Noir will tank some hits off them and keep going. This is a guy who once flew up in the air and was gone for like a couple seconds. Remember when Homelander threw that guy up in the air and he died, right? Because Cat Noir kind of did the same thing. He was thrown up in the air, landed on a car, but he was able to walk away safely. So he can take some shots and keep going. And he's very skilled as well. This is a guy who once was able to climb and scale the entire Eiffel Tower while he was being attacked with projectiles, right? He has split-second reaction time from sort of these cat-like abilities, right? He has these enhanced senses. So it's sort of on a level with, like, Spidey senses. If he's aware of something, and right before it's able to hit him, he's able to dodge out of the way of it. He does this all the time on the show. He's also a great fencer. I don't think we talk about combat skill quite enough, but he has the ability to fight with a sword, and he uses this skill in combat. He knows all about when to parry, when to dodge, when to roll, and when to strike. He learned that from the sense of fencing, but he uses it in both his hand-to-hand combat and with his weapon, we'll get to in a sec. Acrobatic. This is a guy who jumps and spins and flips. I think about Nightwing a lot whenever I see him fight. He's a guy that can jump, hang on the side of a building, and then kind of jump back. He can't fly or, you know, do Spider-Man like web kind of stuff, but he's definitely a very acrobatic character who can jump around and use it to his advantage. I would argue just as much as Wolverine, just as much as
Deadpool. He also has his enhanced senses, much like a Wolverine-like character, except his involve super hearing, so it's really hard to sneak up on him. And it's also got night vision as well. Night vision, so if the room goes dark for whatever reason, I think Wolverine could probably still fight pretty well, but I don't think Deadpool would be as in good shape in a darkened room. And finally, his staff. Cat Noir has a staff that he's very, very skilled with. He uses the fencing skill, but uses it with sort of his bow staff. But this is sort of a magical bow staff. It can elongate at will, and it can become very, very long, which means that he actually has an extremely long radius of attack that he doesn't have to be right next to you. He doesn't have to be in combat distance with you to, one, get a hit with the staff, but he also uses it to pole vault with. He once pole vaulted across the city in like 4 or 5 jumps. So he can use the athleticism. He can use the pole, which at will can become super long, and he knows how to fight with it at the style of a fencer. He can also throw it like a boomerang, like Daredevil would do, hit somebody and have it bounce back and then come on back to him again. He uses the staff in very creative ways. I've not seen a team that can improvise as well, because so often they're fighting characters for the first time basically every episode of Miraculous, and they have to get the wins to save the world. Cat Noir is all that, probably even more, and that's my point number one.
All right, listen, I do not want to put down this character whatsoever, because what they bring to the table is actually pretty cool, and for what I have seen of this show, it's actually a lot of fun. So here's the deal. I do think Cat Noir has some similar level physicals in at least some areas as to Wolverine and Deadpool, so no pushback there. But, you know, here's the thing. When he does get hurt, it's not like he's got a healing factor, and that's going to be a big issue. So if he does get hurt, you know, substantially, it's going to take him a while to get back into the fight. I know he's got willpower and all that kind of good stuff, but again, you know, physically speaking, if you get hurt and messed up, you still got to let your body get you back there, continue to fight. You know, his training, his skill, yeah, they're good, but again, this kid's, what, 15 to 17, somewhere in that age range. And he's got good skill, good training, but it's just nothing compared to what Deadpool and Wolverine have in terms of combat skill and combat training. They have taken it to the extreme, and that is putting it mildly. You know, having a elongating staff that elongates at will. I'm sorry, Deadpool, this is just tailor-made for Deadpool. He's going to be making jokes galore the whole time. Sorry, kids at home. But with that being said, Deadpool and Wolverine have both fought against someone with great skills with bow staffs or what have you. So everything that Cat Noir brings to the table, as impressive as it is, yeah, both Wolverine and Deadpool have seen this and been there and done that and defeated many, many, many times. They'll not be surprised by this character, again, as great as he is. Now, let me get to my point number one. Let's talk about what Deadpool and Wolverine can do, just power-wise. I know we know this, but it's important for the judge to hear it too. Look, Deadpool's got one of the best healing factors in all of comics. He can regenerate cells, tissues, even limbs, which is why he's so fearless in battle. He's regrown his head after it was shot off by the Punisher, and even came back from being completely disintegrated by Thanos from ground zero of a nuclear blast. Literally, he came back within seconds. He's even been torn apart and managed to reconnect himself right away. His physical abilities are off the charts too. Deadpool has superhuman strength, agility, reflexes, speed. He can do wild stuff like jump 2 stories high. And once, while dressed up as Spider-Man and pretending to be Spider-Man, he used his webs to pull a helicopter that was in midair and slam it into a giant kaiju-sized mouse. It wasn't an easy thing to do, but man, that was impressive physically. He survived falls from great heights, tanked explosions, taken hits from superpowered beings. Plus, he's fast enough to sidestep bullets and even cut one in half with his sword, talking about skill. Now, Deadpool also has super stamina. Fatigue poisons don't affect him. That's a Marvel Universe thing. So he can fight at peak performance for days at least. And he's immortal thanks to a curse from Thanos. We've mentioned this before. Deadpool literally can't die. He's immune to all diseases, toxins, poisons, because Thanos was jealous of Deadpool's relationship with Lady Death. That's a weird thing coming to play with this battle, but so what? And lastly, Deadpool is resistant to any type of telepathic attacks. It's just because he's got this chaotic mind, makes it impossible for psychics to control. Like Emma Frost can't do it, and she's one of the most powerful telepaths in the world. You know, he breaks the fourth wall all the time. That's a fun thing. He's talking directly to readers, to people in shows. He even explains to readers that he understands he's in a comic book. Will he be using the fourth wall break here? I don't know. And then there's Wolverine. Look, got one of the most iconic healing factors in comics. Can recover from almost any injury super fast. We're talking bullet wounds, knife stabs, burns. You name it, he heals from it. He's even regenerated from a single drop of blood before. This healing ability also slows his aging, keeping him, this is a ruggedly handsome, good-looking dude from Alberta, Canada. You know, you don't get much better than that. Just saying, you know, that's the thing. His skeleton claws, of course, coated in adamantium. This is the strongest metal in the Marvel Universe. This means his durability is off the charts. And because of his healing factor and his pain tolerance, you can try to put him down, but he's not staying down, and he's getting up right away. And then he just gets angry. His senses are superhuman. Ray, you mentioned that before. His sense of smell is so keen, he can, you know, track people across great distances. If everything goes dark, yeah, he can hear and smell where someone is. He doesn't need to see him to go after him. Physically, he's a beast. He's got superhuman strength, agility, and reflexes. I think he can lift just over 3 tons. He's doing acrobatic feats. He reacts faster than most humans can blink. Combine that with his combat skills, I think they've been perfected for more than 100 years of fighting experience. And you've got one of the deadliest fighters in the Marvel Universe. He's got crazy stamina. Same thing. His healing factor means he doesn't get tired easily. He's going to be fighting for weeks at a time. And let's not forget that my favorite part about Wolverine, his berserker rage. So when he gets pushed to his limits, Wolverine can enter a state of heightened fury. This makes him even crazier and more insane in battle. It boosts his strength, his ferocity. This makes him a force of nature you definitely don't want to mess with. And the great part about this, you might be saying, well, is Cat Noir and Ladybug going to trigger this berserker rage? Probably not. But you know who will? Deadpool, in case he needs it. And then he'll get out of the way and let Wolverine does what he does best. And that'll be horrific to see, actually. All of that is my point number one.
Yeah, okay. Look, we all know that Wolverine and Deadpool, this is a very strong regeneration team. If I am going to win this battle, I have to have an answer for the regeneration. I'm thankful, of course, that I do, but I'm not going to share it right this moment. If you did your homework, you might figure out where we're going, but I hope you didn't, because that would make my life a lot more difficult. Look, I'm a big fan of both of these characters. We've seen them win a whole heck of a lot, but we've also seen them lose a whole heck of a lot as well, because what fun is a hero who you can beat down and keep coming back if they never get beat down? That is where I believe that we will have an advantage in a first-time meeting.
Interesting thoughts, but they don't really matter, because the only person whose thoughts matter is our judge, Robert Clark Chan. Robert, you've heard one point from both Ray and myself. Where's your head at so far with this matchup?
I mean, honestly, their physicals both seem like around the same. The difference is going to be in, you know, healing factor and combat skill, all of which makes sense and all of which basically anybody would know coming in to, you know, something like this. Like, just looking at the cover, you're like, oh, right, these two guys have swords and claws and these guys are on a kid's show. Where the violence is a very different matter. But also, because it's a very different matter, I don't expect that they're going to be winning from a straight up, you know, knockdown, drag out punching fight in the middle of the street. I imagine Ray is going to come up with something different. He's going to beat them a different way. And so, yes, Wolverine and Deadpool have the advantage now, but I don't think it will matter. I don't think this stuff is likely to come into play by the end of this. So, yeah, it's still anybody's game.
Got it. We're going to call this the Tea Party effect, right? We don't know. Actually, it should be a Tea Party factor. We'll call this the Tea Party factor. Could go either way, and it takes a mind like Robert Clark Chan to figure it out. All good stuff. This battle's heating up. Stay tuned for point number two.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
And we're back. Ray, hit us with your point number two.
Point number two, we're going to talk about Miraculous Ladybug. Originally, I made the mistake when I was putting this together of thinking Cat Noir would have to go second because he was the more powerful character. Not necessarily so when I started breaking it down. There's a reason Cat Noir is considered the sidekick to Miraculous Ladybug. First off, she's much stronger than Cat Noir. She once knocked over a T-Rex. She knocked one over. If you beat a dinosaur in a fight, yeah, it's getting on the Who Would Win show. I'm going to tell you that right now. She gets really, really mad and then sort of has this almost Toon Force-y strength about her. She got mad and then casually walked over as an afterthought and flipped a car over on its side in sort of like one motion with her hand. One time she was off screen and she threw an entire automobile basically up against the fourth floor of a building and it almost landed on a mom and her kid, and Cat Noir had to save them because she got mad. Now, I'm not talking the Incredible Hulk here, but I'm not talking about the Incredible Hulk here. When she starts getting angry, the strength really comes out and her control over herself gets out a little bit more as well. She's very, very fast too. I would argue that she has physicals more so than Cat Noir. And since we've already established that Cat Noir is on par with Deadpool and Wolverine, Miraculous is one step above. She had fought somebody called the Bubbler, who trapped people in super bubbles. I believe that was the first episode of Miraculous. And she was able to dodge all of these very speedy bubbles, but she's also dodged lasers, of course. She's dodged cars when they were being thrown at her by a very large being. And my favorite, she dodged a bunch of pause buttons that would have caused her to stop moving when they were being shuffled, like making it rain off of a cell phone. Look, I don't know always how this show works. This is a weird show that does weird things. One time they fought a character called the Mime, it's hard to call him a speedster, but he has a mild speed power that allows him to hit people before they can really react to it. To my eyes, it didn't appear that he was going particularly fast, but people can't react when he fights them. Well, Cat Noir and Miraculous Ladybug fought the Mime on a top of a train car, and they knocked him over the side. They took care of him, a guy who can move that fast. Durability. She tanks hits and keeps on going. The best examples of which are characters you would not know. I'm just going to say once again, there are powerhouse characters in this universe, and she is able to tank their shots. Now, one of her big things is her lucky charm. It's like a one-shot deal that she can. You ever see Mickey Mouse Clubhouse, where they have the Toodles and they have the one item that's a mystery item that they don't know exactly, you know, what they're going to use it for? That's one of her powers. She pulls out a lucky charm, which is essentially a random item that she just suddenly makes work, or sometimes it's not that good and she can't like think of a way. It's not straightforward. It's not like a gun. She once pulled out like a super ball or like a spray paint can. But if she figures it out in the moment, she uses it to improvisationally defeat the person she's fighting. Like she'll use the spray paint can and she sprayed it in their face, blinding them, allowing her to intercept them and take them out. Like that's what she gets right there. And her other big one is the yo-yo. That's like her big attack weapon. The yo-yo has an impressively long string, like magical string on it, and she uses it like a bola to wrap things up. Well, I once saw her wrap up the Eiffel Tower. The entire Eiffel Tower wrapped around several times in mere seconds, like 2.5 seconds. One time I saw her wrap her yo-yo around the very top of like a large building and then pulled on it with her incredible strength and brought down rubble from the top of the building onto the enemy she was facing, trapping them underneath. One time she used her yo-yo to do an AT-AT, you know, Empire Strikes Back to a big old giant robot they were fighting, tied up its legs, pulled, and knocked it over. Heck, she wrapped it around the middle of a bridge, yanked out that piece of bridge, and then crashed the character down into the water below she was fighting. She could spin the yo-yo to create a force field that deflects projectiles. This yo-yo is out of control and can be used very, very well in an incapacitation sense. These two don't have to kill Deadpool and Wolverine. That would be tough. All we have to do is slow them down for 2 minutes, and I think we have the tools to do it. That's my point number two.
All right, again, it's an impressive character. By the way, I'm really kind of looking at my life choices to where it brought me today, where I'm talking about how impressive a character Ladybug is in a battle with Deadpool and Wolverine. A little bit of a side note. All right, look, she's great. She knocked over T-Rex. Wolverine actually killed one, took one out completely. I think that's a little bit better. You know, she flipped over a car with one hand. Wolverine's done that as well. this is fun. The angrier she gets, the less control she has, the more reckless she gets. And if anyone can push Ladybug's emotional buttons, it's going to be Deadpool. He just gets under people's skin like no one's business. This is not a good thing for her to have to experience. You know, they have also experienced, you know, Deadpool and Wolverine with a character named Domino, who always has that power of good luck. So, you know, all of a sudden pulling something out of nowhere and going, that's, again, not something that's really going to throw them that much, because they're so good at improvising and going up against these characters that are just insanely unpredictable. And the yo-yo, this sounds amazing. It's an incredible weapon. The problem is Wolverine's got his claws. Deadpool has his swords in a bunch of different ways to not only escape being tied up or incapacitated by the yo-yo string, but they can cut through it, but they can also escape. It's not going to be as big of a factor as you think. Wolverine is great at not being tied up by anything and escaping stuff. That's just what I'm saying of all this. All right, now let me get to my point number two. My point number two, let's talk about the weapons, fighting ability, and some accomplishments of this dynamic duo, if you will. Now, Deadpool is like a walking arsenal. He's always loaded with all sorts of weapons. He's got a variety of guns. He's got grenades, swords, scythes, knives, concussive grenades, taser wires, and constricting bolas. And he knows how to use every single one of them like a pro. He's an incredible marksman, able to hit targets with insane pinpoint accuracy. And this is, you know, doing this while he's doing other stuff like flying a plane and chat or chatting on the phone and firing weapons off with this accuracy. And remember, these are things that Ladybug and Cat Noir don't have a lot of experience going up against, because the villains they do have, they're great, but just not of the same, I don't know how I can put this, caliber as those that Wolverine and Deadpool have to go up. Now, Deadpool as a mercenary has these superhuman abilities, of course, and that means his combat skills are just on another level. He's a master of stealth. He can sneak up on enemies or stay hidden until the perfect moment to strike. He's a top-notch martial artist. He's skilled in various styles. And again, we talked about this before, Kenjutsu, you know, the art of using the sword. In Deadpool's Secret Invasion, he took down an army of Skrulls using his weapon mastery and hand-to-hand combat skills. If you can take out an army of Skrulls who are shapeshifters, can take on the attributes of other superhumans just with what you've got coming into this battle, good luck, Ladybug and Cat Noir, with this one. Now, Deadpool's also got a tactical mind. He can analyze opponents and exploit their weaknesses. This is my favorite thing. He once spotted 35 weaknesses in a character named Shatterstar's fighting style, and he used them all against him to win. Fun fact, he also carries compact teleporters. This lets him move around quickly in fights. Sometimes he gets, you know, teleports behind his enemies, in front of him. And because he's gross, he'll even teleport into his enemies if he's feeling he's getting a loss. That's something he could do as well, because his healing factor will take care of the damage. He's got a holographic image inducer to disguise himself when needed. His katanas are special. They can be charged with an energy field. This makes them pretty much indestructible. They can cut through almost anything. Even Wolverine's adamantium claws can't cut through their swords when they're fully charged. That's Deadpool. Now, in terms of Wolverine, you got to talk about the adamantium claws. The claws are iconic. Six retractable claws coated with unbreakable adamantium. They can slice through and pierce almost anything. They extend from his knuckles. You know, it's really cool. It just pops them out for action any moment. And the adamantium not only makes his claws incredibly sharp and durable, but also reinforces his entire skeleton. And that adamantium makes him nearly indestructible. And then that healing factor just makes him a better fighter, too. And the claws are perfect for both offensive and defensive combat. He can cut through metal, concrete, pretty much any obstacle in his way. And that, with his enhanced strength and combat skills, his claws make him one of the most dangerous fighters in the Marvel Universe. That is saying something. Plus, with his healing factor, he's using his claws without fear of injury, and this makes him like just a crucial part of his fighting style. Look, in terms of wins, Deadpool has beaten the Punisher, Doctor Strange. He beat Wolverine twice. He beat an evil clone of Steve Rogers with the same powers and combat ability as Captain, as the real Captain America. He's even beaten Deadpool, which is an exact version of Deadpool from an alternate universe. And he's beaten Cable. He beat Goliath, the hero who can grow into a giant. He beat Hercules, who is a god of strength. He even beat Daredevil. And he beat all those three at the same time. And just as Ray mentioned in a previous episode of the Who Would Win show, Deadpool has actually beaten the entire Marvel Universe, as in killed them all off. This is crazy. Now, Wolverine, he's got a win over Deadpool as well. He's beaten the Fantastic Four at the same time. He beat Daredevil and Elektra at the same time. He beat Sabretooth. He's got clean wins over the freaking Hulk. He beat Lady Deathstroke, Omega Red, and he even beat his son, Dakin, you know, that Wolverine-looking dude with, like, two claws popping out in that weird way. To put this all very mildly, Deadpool and Wolverine represent two of the most prolific fighters in the Marvel Universe with a ton of experience. They've gone up against it all. Ladybug and Cat Noir don't have anything extra special that they haven't seen before or can't overcome. All of that is my point number two.
All right. Well, you knew it was going to come somewhere in here. And we're going to talk about some of the great wins. Yeah, you got characters that have been around for a long time. Deadpool since the 90s, Wolverine since before that. And two iconic characters who have been used a lot in comic books, which means, of course, not only do they have some impressive wins, there are some not as impressive losses. And talking about Wolverine specifically, here's three characters who have beaten Wolverine. Spider-Woman has defeated Wolverine. He didn't even land a hit on her, and she stabbed him in the face, in the neck, with his own claws at the end of the battle. A clean victory of Spider-Woman. But two other characters that stood out are Black Panther and Daredevil. Spider-Woman, Black Panther, and Daredevil are essentially analogous to Cat Noir and Miraculous Ladybug. Very similar power sets, very similar strengths and agilities, and very similar characters in many different ways, as I've already enumerated. And the fact that all of these characters have wins over Wolverine tells you that it's on the board that Miraculous Ladybug and Deadpool could as well. And let's keep it real, Deadpool has lost probably even more to many of those same characters, like, for example, Moon Knight or a Spider-Man or a Daredevil, or of course, Squirrel Girl is another person who has beaten Deadpool, not to mention the fact that the Punisher has beaten both of them, and he doesn't even have superpowers. All he's got is guns.
I mean, Squirrel Girl beat Thanos, Doctor Doom, and Galactus. There's no shame in that. Look, this is all good, but we are actually now what's called the turning point. Robert, you've had a moment to ponder 2 points for both Ray and myself. Who do you think is ahead, and what does the other side have to do to pull out the victory?
Well, honestly, Ray has put all of his eggs in one basket. This second round here, he's going on about physicals and how, you know, Ladybug would match up in a fight. And yeah, honestly, Deadpool and Wolverine are going to mop the floor with these two in a normal fight because they are fighters who fight and stab and shoot, and Ladybug and Cat Noir tie people up with yo-yos. And so, like, if you're presenting that fight, they're going to lose. That being said, it did strike me that a lot of the things, for example, all of the weapons and fancy devices, teleportation devices and holograms and whatnot like that, that Deadpool have are just run-of-the-mill sort of, like, gadgets, whatever, that Ladybug and Cat Noir would face. You know, the Bubbler is not that far off from Shocker or whoever else in the Marvel Universe, you know what I'm saying? So they have a puncher's chance. This is, you know, a fight, the first encounter. And yes, Wolverine and Deadpool lose a lot. So, you know, this is conceivable that they could do it. As of now, it seems pretty unlikely. But again, obviously, Ray has something saved up for round three because I don't see much groundwork being laid for it. It better be pretty spectacular. That being said, if James, if all you're going to do is just tell me like more people that they've beaten or how they can punch harder, I mean, I already know that. So if you don't have something new to tell me in the third round, then Wolverine and Deadpool could very easily lose this.
All I heard was that I'm ahead, but yet again, I've been ahead before at this same point, and Ray has pulled out a victory. It's anyone's game at this point. Things are about to heat up. Stay tuned for point number three.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Get 15% off a set of BrakeBest Select, Select Pro, or Import Direct brake pads and two rotors now at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
And we're back. Ray, it's now or never. Hit us with your point number three.
Point number three is just called putting it together. It's almost like Robert Clark Chan has heard this show before and knows that I am not talking about a straightforward knockdown slobber knocking fight between these two teams. That would be insane. That is not how they even fight. Now, first off, let's talk about the teamwork of Deadpool and Wolverine, because it's not there. Deadpool and Wolverine are more often at odds with each other than they are working together as a team. It's the entire conceit of the new movie that's coming out, is the fact that Wolverine doesn't like Deadpool. He's not amused by Deadpool, but he often finds that he has to work with Deadpool. So Deadpool is going to be making fun of Wolverine. He's going to be playing with him, and Wolverine is over it. And Wolverine, if Deadpool started getting pummeled, doesn't necessarily want to step in and help him, because he would probably enjoy watching his teammate getting pummeled, and kind of the other way too. However, teamwork is how Cat Noir and Miraculous Ladybug get their wins. One time, Ladybug, there was a giant lollipop monster, okay? It was a kaiju-sized monster made of lollipops. Ladybug wrapped her yo-yo around the top of its head, quote-unquote, and then jumped on top of it so she could steer it, and Cat Noir put his long staff between two trees. They tripped it over and were able to bring it down to defeat through using teamwork and working together. And that's the main difference between these two teams. Two that work together all the time and like each other, and two that don't like each other and aren't going to be having each other's backs at all times. I'm going to add here, both characters, Ladybug and Cat Noir, can run on walls like they're in a Prince of Persia game. They can run sideways up of all surfaces. That is not necessarily something that Wolverine and Deadpool can match. So I have a mobility advantage with my team over the opposing team. They one time fought an empowered Santa Claus. That's right, James. A Santa Claus who was given the power of a miraculous and turned evil and started throwing exploding gifts at them. You've argued Santa Claus on this show three times, very successfully. Well, my team today has defeated a version of Santa Claus, so put that in your Santa pipe and smoke it. Now, the big way that we're going to win here, and I'm going to tell you the story, is because Cat Noir has a special power that I did not mention before, and it is a power called Cataclysm. Cataclysm is a one-shot power of destructive force that can destroy or degrade absolutely anything. He uses this to remove powers from villains. He uses this to destroy very, very large things. He once used it to destroy like a Phantom Zone type prison universe and help everybody escape from it that was being run by a bad guy. It is very much a Deus Ex Machina thing, and the writers use it all the time. I posit that when the fighting gets tough and they find out that some of their moves don't work, he's going to pull a Cataclysm and degrade the healing factor of both Deadpool and Wolverine, taking their powers away from them. Not fully, but take away that healing factor, or at least degrade it to a large amount, at which point Miraculous Ladybug is going to be standing on the side of a building. She's going to use her yo-yo, pull an entire skyscraper or building down over the two of them, and they will be trapped under that building for 2 minutes or more, and with no healing factor, or at least a degraded one, they will be down for the count. At the end of it, he is going to be very, very weak, Cat Noir is. This is sort of a one-shot deal. He hits them with the teamwork, and she finishes them off. I absolutely see this as a realm of possibility. Let's face facts. Ladybug has some weird cosmic powers of her own. She once put the Earth back in orbit. I don't know exactly how that worked. It looked like she used potpourri to do it. That doesn't matter. The point is that when the going gets tough and they're at their actual apex, they find a way to get the job done and win and not die, because that is essential to who these characters are. So using teamwork, degrading their healing factor, and dropping a building on them, I think that there is a clear path to victory for Ladybug and Cat Noir, and that's my point number three.
Yeah, I got to push back on some of this. Listen, you know, in terms of them being at odds, not having the same teamwork as Ladybug and Cat Noir, Deadpool and Wolverine actually have a long storied history because they've both been around for many, many decades. They've worked together, they teamed up before, and they've been insanely effective and insanely successful. I'll go into this, my point number three. You mentioned how one of them runs up walls and can climb really cool surfaces like that. Yeah, I don't know if you know this, Deadpool and Wolverine have a lot of experience with Spider-Man and wall crawlers. So seeing that's not really going to throw them and not make them go like, oh, what do we do now? They've seen it. They've done it. They fought against it. They fought with it. They know how to deal with that. Cataclysm, that's a crazy cool power. I love it. But even if it does hit Deadpool Wolverine, they're coming back. Remember, Wolverine can come back from like almost nothing. Deadpool got obliterated from like down the molecular level and came back. And to say their healing factor is going to be degraded, that's never actually happened in the Marvel, you know, history of things within their timeline or within the Marvel 616 universe. And one of the best examples of that not happening is when Thanos, he had some of the Infinity Gems, decided to eradicate Deadpool from the universe. Not just degrade him, but remove him from the universe. And it didn't work. That's because Lady Death said, hey, you're not going to be able to die. So as Deadpool's coming back, even if his, all this stuff's been eradicated and put all around without even Lady Death, he still came back just as powerful as before with the same healing factor and what have you. Same thing for Wolverine a number of occasions. So I do think it'll may hurt them very badly, but they're coming back within seconds thanks to their healing factor. Now, let me get to my point number three for all of this. And this is going to hit home and make everyone understand what's going to happen. We're going to talk about some glaring weaknesses that Ladybug and Cat Noir have and some other cool teamwork examples of Deadpool and Wolverine. So first of all, there's some time limits to both Ladybug and Cat Noir in terms of their power. You know, if they call on it, they don't have this extended time usage to use it. It's limited time that they can do it, and then they revert back. Again, put that against Wolverine and Deadpool, who have, you know, crazy superhuman stamina backed up by their healing factors, getting rid of any fatigue poison. So they literally don't have the mechanism to get tired in their body without healing from it right away. And Deadpool and Wolverine have way more stamina and can go at a higher level for way longer than both of these characters before they run out of power and revert back to their teenage selves. Listen, you know, they also really feel, have these deep feelings for each other in terms of Ladybug and Cat Noir, romantic feelings. And when you're a teenager, you know, that magical first love kind of thing happens. When either one of them gets hurt or gets put down, they get distracted. This is something that's a running theme throughout the show. Oh no, Cat Noir is down. Let me run over and check on him. Oh no, I got shot from behind by whatever bubble gun guy, whatever it was. They are very reckless in terms of being letting their emotions go to the needs of the other person in that moment, which seems great for a hero. But in this type of fight with Deadpool and Wolverine, it's not going to work. You need clear heads. And again, emotional stature of a teenager. This is what's going to happen, especially two that have these romantic feelings for each other. Now, the fact remains, Ladybug and Cat Noir, they function well as a team. Can't take away from that. But so have Deadpool and Wolverine. In fact, they've got some super impressive wins as a team. In team ups together, they defeated time-traveling assassins and prevented catastrophic changes to the timeline. Look, I mentioned before, you can fix a timeline, you know, in your team's pretty freaking awesome. You got to work together to make that happen. That's amazing. See, they also beat a team called the Thunderbolts. This was when they were as a Bullseye, as Hawkeye, Radioactive Man, Doc and his Wolverine, Venom, and Norman Osborn was wearing the Iron Man type armor. It was like the Iron Patriot, and both Deadpool and Wolverine teamed up and took them all out. And again, that includes Venom. And that's kind of crazy. There's a massive group of shape-shifting, super-powered Skrulls, even bigger than the one Deadpool took on. And of course, all of a sudden, this really cool scene is Deadpool Wolverine taking on Super Skrulls. These are Skrulls with superpowers, not the same ones as the Super Skrull that takes on the Fantastic Four, mind you, but different powers as well. Some of the X-Men powers and what have you. And again, it's an army of them, and Deadpool Wolverine took them all on and beat them. And they beat the team of Black Tom, Cassidy, and Juggernaut, which, let's face it, was mostly Juggernaut. As, you know, no offense to Black Tom Cassidy. And look, you have a win over Juggernaut with two of you beating Juggernaut somehow, a clear win. That is insanely impressive. Look, see, Ladybug and Cat Noir is his French story after all, right? And this is going to be a thing. And do you know who is not fond of French people? Yeah, that's right. It's Canadians from Saskatchewan and Alberta. Fun fact, Wolverine's from Alberta, by the way. Deadpool says he's from Regina, Saskatchewan. Not that Logan will mind, but Deadpool will lose his mind and not allow himself to be beaten by French kids. Look it up. It's a fact. English-speaking and French-speaking Canada have big problems with each other. Don't think it's going to be a factor. It's just a fun thing to bring up. Now, could Deadpool use his ability to break the fourth wall to his advantage in this fight? Sure, but there's a bigger factor in all this that will give Deadpool and Wolverine the win, and that's that this battle is going to come down to something very specific, and that's experience. See, Ladybug and Cat Noir are about, what, 15 to 17 years old? Each have around two to three, maybe 4 years of experience as superheroes. Now compare that to Deadpool, who's got what, decades of experience fighting, superpowered opponents of all types. Wolverine has well over 100 years of experience. And you can see that as great as Ladybug and Cat Noir are, they really have nothing that Deadpool and Wolverine haven't seen, taken on, and defeated and overcome quite a few times. In the end, Ladybug and Cat Noir will put up a good fight. Really good fight. It'd be fun to watch. But once Deadpool and Wolverine decide to finish it, I don't think they'll necessarily kill them. But I think they'll be like, hey, guys, we got to get these kids to stop fighting and move on. Hopefully not too brutally. But again, they're French, so who knows? Ladybug and Cat Noir are defeated handily. All of that is my point number three.
Okay, well, here's where I bring it all home with the victory that I so rightly deserve. Now, James, how dare you? You actually are going to make the argument that Wolverine has never lost his healing factor at any point. Yet in the earlier Who Would Win episode of Bloodshot versus Wolverine, you made the exact argument that the nanobots of Bloodshot would remove Wolverine's healing factor. So which way is it, James? I think he can lose the healing factor because you won that match. Match up with that argument before. It seems crazy that you would suddenly disagree with old James now. And also, let's talk about blood, because you could say it's the Scooby-Doo effect. These two characters have never bled, near as I can tell. You could say it's because it's a 3D animated show for kids. I argue that both of them have Luke Cage's superpower, that they cannot have their skin pierced. They cannot bleed, that Wolverine's claws would not work on them. Lest we forget, Deadpool doesn't work well with a team. He had a comic recently with the Punisher, and the Punisher would use Deadpool to kill somebody he needed, then shoot him in the back of the head when he's not looking, so he would lose that memory, and then throw him in a duffel bag and bring him to another location to do it again. He's not a good teammate. And Wolverine and Deadpool share a new title in Marvel Comics here in 2024. It's called World War III, because they don't work well together. They fight each other at every single opportunity. And James, you brought something into this battle that I didn't. The love that these two characters of Ladybug and Cat Noir share, that seems forbidden. They never seem to do it, but they do. And two characters who love each other against two characters who hate each other, the two who love each other, that is a powerful emotion that will absolutely be enough. The power of love, James, that will win this battle. I've outlined a clear path to victory. They have the emotional connection to get it done. I love where I stand right now.
Crazy, crazy, crazy. Listen, Robert, you've heard 3 points from both Ray and myself.
That's the power of love.
And
did you,
we lost three sponsors,
just bring up Huey Lewis and the news? Because yeah, I'm fixing to call it right here.
I mean, you really shouldn't. Robert Clark Chan, you are the judge. Just take a deep breath. Remove the vomit from your mouth and just, we'll you know, because you've heard 3 points from both Ray and myself. And now, come on, don't cut us short. Don't let the Legion of Audience down. It's time for you to make a decision. But before we get to what Robert has to say, let's celebrate the Who Would Win Patron of the Week. Every week, we choose one of our amazing members from the Who Would Win Show's Patreon community and put them in a battle. Ray, which patron do we have today?
Today, our patron of the week is Sean G. You know him from social media. He makes excellent points online on a website I used to go on, but I don't anymore because I'm on Threads. Join me on Threads at AlmightyRay316. Anyway, Sean G is our patron of the week.
Plenty of room on Threads. Lots of space. Let's see. Sean G. He is smart. He's cunning. He's devilishly good looking. All right. I'm going to throw a curveball. Let's have Sean G. go up against the team, because I'm feeling mean about this, of R2-D2 and C-3PO.
Oh, well, this is almost easier than pie. Sean G. is, of course, an electronics expert. We know this about him from the way he posts very knowingly about electronics online. So R2-D2 and C-3PO. James would argue that these are two combat masters. I would argue that they get pushed over like a dump truck would push over a trash bin over and over and over again. C-3PO got red arms and nobody cared. C-3PO was carried around his back by Chewbacca in maybe his most memorable moment from the movie series, right? You know, I've got a complicated history with these two characters. I love them, but they're not fighters. They're not tough. And it doesn't even matter because they show up and R2-D2 needs to be about 2 inches away from you to do that electrical shock attack. And Sean G knows this. He has prior knowledge, even though he shouldn't. And he is just going to say, ah, R2-D2 and C-3PO. And then he's going to walk over and he's going to 300 Spartan kick R2-D2 off a cliff into a pit somewhere. And then he's going to attach an EMP bomb to C-3PO. Electronics expert, I need say no more. Easy, clean victory for Sean G.
Wow. I just didn't think Sean G would have it in him to go after two such beloved characters from Star Wars. But
he hates himself for it in the end. Wow. But at the end of the day, you got
to
do it.
From the mind of Ray Stakanis. Well done. Well done, Sean G. Remember, you too can become a celebrated patron of the week. All you have to do is go to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow and sign up, and you may be featured in an upcoming episode of Who Would Win. Robert, it's time for your decision. Take us through your process, tell us the story, if you will, and reveal who you think wins this battle between the team of Wolverine and Deadpool versus Ladybug and Cat Noir.
Well, unusually, Ray has laid out a scenario for the win, which he kind of has to because, yeah, this is in many ways a very uneven matchup. So we have the Cataclysm, which is a one-use power, but is apparently almost galactic level in its usage. Like, it could do almost anything. So I do believe that it could degrade both Wolverine and Deadpool's healing factor for long enough to, you know, pull down the Eiffel Tower or whatever on these two, hold them down for 2 minutes. Totally plausible. The question is, will they be able to do it? Because I think, James, you're correct. The big advantage that these two have is not in the physicals, but it is in that experience. Not just, you know, I know how to punch better, I know how to shoot better, but also just tactics. And you're running up against these two who are essentially teenagers. And Wolverine's job for many, many years has basically been teaching teenagers how to fight. So he's going to see all of the flaws in their game and be able to tag them pretty easily, I think. So physicals all pretty well match up. Wolverine has beaten Gambit a billion times. No way he's not going to be able to see what Cat Noir has got on him. It's pretty impressive to have knocked over a T-Rex. I don't remember how Wolverine killed his T-Rex, but you know what? I'm going to say that these are both kind of comparable. I think there's a real strong thread of Toon Force here in the same way that the Cataclysm will, you know, like, match up to whatever level is needed to, you know, make the thing happen. I think both Cat Noir and Ladybug will be able to be agile enough using just a skosh of Toon Force to stay out of the way. I think you, James, kind of made a mistake by not acknowledging Deadpool's fourth wall breaking as strongly, because I think that is kind of a key to his Toon Force. He could have very easily blocked that side of their attack by just being like, what? By turning towards the camera and saying, what, these kids, doing whatever? That's how he manipulates his reality. And I think that is very much a legitimate superpower that you're just kind of leaving on the table there. So you have left the door open for them. I'm not going to lie. At this point, I'm just talking it out. I still don't know who's going to win yet. Just going through the notes and ticking things off one by one to see, who's left on top. This is not going to be a battle to the death. We're not going to have to worry about whether or not the goddess Death will take Deadpool, you know, or whatever. We just gotta keep him in one place for 2 minutes while Ladybug and Cat just, like, abscond. Because absolutely, if there is a second battle and they do manage to win the first one, Deadpool and Logan are absolutely going to win. I think it's possible that Wolverine could get a little overconfident because, again, he 100% has these two dead to rights. He will be able to out-strategize him, outthink him. So it's basically the Toon Force of these two. Are they going to be able to stop them the way they stop the bad guys in their world? Or are they a little too much in the Marvel universe and therefore subject to the rules of Deadpool and Wolverine? I think they do manage to weaken their healing powers. I think they do manage to land a building on them. And the thing is, Deadpool and Wolverine both are heavily dependent on their healing factors. As good as fighters as they are, a lot of their style is in knowing that they're going to take hits and just keep walking through it. They're just going to soak it and keep going. So I think that makes them a little too arrogant for that first bout. I think they do drop the building on them. I think that at 1 minute and 58 seconds, Deadpool manages to hit his teleporter, teleport himself out, and in the end, he is going to be the one to outlast Cat Noir and Ladybug because they have a time limit. And Deadpool, he is going to run his mouth so long that they're not going to have any choice but to run off and let Wolverine dig himself out. Deadpool and Wolverine are the winners.
There you have it. That was crazy, unbelievable. There's no way it should have been that close of a battle. I was sweating bullets. Race to Canis. What an incredible job you did repping these two characters from a kid's show and making them viable opponents, getting this close to a victory over Deadpool and Wolverine. Luckily, I didn't bet on this matchup, because if I did, I would have lost a lot of money. I got the win. I'm happy about it. But man, was that ever way too close. Congratulations, Race to Canis. Ray, just tell the Legion of Audience how you feel right now.
No, I just have a question. I'm not going to wait till the third degree to ask this, because I loved my strategy. I loved my story. And it seemed like Robert Clark Chan was on board with my story as well, especially given that you said Wolverine could lose his healing factor in a previous Who Would Win battle. And we have to hold you to your word at the end of the day. Robert Clark Chan, if it wasn't for the teleporter that I was not considering when I put my story together, would I have won this battle if not for the teleporter?
Maybe. It's tough because, like I said, like all of those gadgets and gizmos are things that Ladybug and Cat Noir deal with on a regular basis. So possibly it would still be really, really close. I do think that Toon Force is the stronger factor. And, you know, like if that had been played a little bit differently, you know, I think that probably would have countered it. It's, you know what, on any given Sunday, it could happen.
I'm going to take that as a yes, and I'm going to feel great about the job that we did today. I accept this victory. Thank you.
I'm sorry. You know, which is the one where you feel bad? Because that's the one that I meant.
Robert Clark Chan, I've known you long enough at this point to know that none of your paths lead me to feel bad.
Robert Clark Chan.
I will find my wins where I can.
Robert Clark Chan, I've got a question for you. Do the fact that both Deadpool and Wolverine, because of their cultural bias being from Midwest Canada, and not liking French, just in general, both as a language and as a culture, come into play in favor in my debate for why they would win this fight.
I think you're lucky that I didn't include it, because I have seen those Western Canadians get mad at French people, and they would have been like bestial creatures who could not put together two thoughts to save their lives. They would have been absolutely animalistic, and they would have just run smack dab into a brick wall and knocked themselves clean out.
So I'm going to take that as a yes. That was a factor.
Whichever one makes you feel bad is the one that I meant.
Seeing a pattern. All right, Robert Clark Chan, yet again, your wisdom. The only way, I mean, you should patent your wisdom. I don't know how you do it, but just patent it, because it is absolutely magical. It entertains people of all ages. Please come back to the show. Do another great job like you did today. And let's put the whole Tea Party fiasco way behind us, even though I did get the win in that episode, just reminding everyone. In the meantime, tell our fan base, the Legion of Audience, where they can find you online.
Look, I'd love to patent my wisdom, but it is illegal in many states. California. You know, you could go to a dispensary for that wisdom, but it's just not a good business venture for me at this time. However, you can go to Knowing Is Half the Podcast. That's a business venture of sorts. I think we have a Patreon probably. And listen to some of those episodes. Those are fun. Or AE Double Back, if you're into professional wrestling, specifically with the AEW variety. Go check it out. Fun times.
Love it. All right. Race to Canis again. No way should you have been that close to a victory. This makes no sense to me. But again, I've been saying this for a while. Your debating skills have been getting better and better every episode. I got to put a stop to this. So tell the Legion of Audience, our fan base, where they can find you.
Man, if my debating skills are only getting better, I've won 3 seasons to your 2, James. So you're in trouble if I keep improving and you stay as mediocre as ever. The point I'm trying to make is this episode is probably running long. I'm just going to say find me on Threads at Almighty Ray 316, where we will be live streaming. Go to Knowing Is Half the Podcast. We're going to be talking about every episode of Miraculous Ladybug, about 137 episodes of the show. We're going to change from a G.I. Joe show to a Miraculous Ladybug show. Unfortunately, there's no way Gina Ippolito says yes to this. So it will be me and Robert Clark Chan and James Gavsey talking about 137 episodes of Miraculous Ladybug. Look for that in 2025 and beyond.
I'm all for that. I get to be with my favorite podcaster of Knowing's Half the Podcast, Robert Clark Chan. Count me in. He's a national treasure. You can find me on X, aka Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook by typing at James Gavsey. Remember to join the official Who Would Win Facebook group. This thing's in the, like, it's growing like crazy. I don't know what's happening. Join us there. You can make a suggestion for a matchup for the show and be part of this really insanely growing community. You can also find us on Instagram and TikTok at Who Would Win Show. Don't forget to subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever else you go for your podcast. On behalf of myself, Ray Cicanus, and the rest of the amazing Who Would Win production team, thank you once again for checking out another episode of Who Would Win. We'll see you next time.
Hey gang, I hope you enjoyed this episode and loved listening to the show as much as we enjoyed making it. Quick reminder that you can support us by going to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow right now. Okay, gotta prepare for next week's episode. Hope the rest of your day is full of wins.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Sup everyone, Brian here, host of the TV and Movie Trivia Podcast. It's a trivia-style podcast focusing on TV and movies. Listen in for questions like, what's the name of Michael Scott's screenplay? What do you say to view the Marauder's map? What are Tony Stark's last words to Thanos in Avengers Endgame? And where does Ron Burgundy say he is when he calls the news station sobbing from a phone booth? I've covered The Office, Harry Potter, Marvel, Will Ferrell movies, Lord of the Rings, and more, with even more on the way. So play along to the TV and Movie Trivia Podcast anywhere you get podcasts, and stay tuned for more trivia!